Hey, my friends, welcome back. Now, listen, I've got something entirely different for you today. I had to take a short break from recording Project Philippians because I needed to go to my hometown and spend some time remembering my mom, who went to be with her Lord and Savior a few months ago. And while I was there, I did some recording and some reminiscing about her, and I thought I would just share it with you, just to kind of give you a picture into my life and some of the reasons I am who I am, for which I give abundant credit to my faithful mom. And so here's the recording, a couple of recordings that I made while I was down there. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. For I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. Hello, my friends. I'm speaking to you today from a very special place to me. It is in my childhood home, in my parents' old bedroom. I'm sitting next to the window where my mom used to sit every day for decades with a Word of God on her lap, and her hands folded in prayer. This was her place to connect with her Savior. She went home to be with the Lord just a few months ago, and I'm here just visiting, reminiscing, and praising God for the memory of her faithfulness. Her time in this chair is just stirring to me. She would pray in this chair every day, and I know for a fact that I was included in those prayers. She would pray for me and my wife and my children, along with my brothers and sisters and their families, and for missionaries all over the world. She was a woman of faithful prayer. She also loved scriptures too, and she would read from them every day. She had many of them memorized. Psalm 23 was her favorite, and also Isaiah 41, the one that I had quoted at the beginning of this recording. It was Psalm 23 that my brother Dan got to read to her during her final hours. She had woken up just enough to be conscious, to be able to listen as he held her hand and read to her Psalm 23. And when he was done, she said, "The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd." And those were her final words on this side of the Jordan. And someday I'll be able to go and meet with her again, with my dad, whom she shared 50 loving years here in this home. They both were the prime examples to me of what it means to be faithful, to live a life of faithfulness to the Savior. If any of you have ever listened to my podcasts, and if anything that I've ever said to you has been meaningful or useful to you spiritually, I want you to know that you can give the credit to the faithful prayers of my mom and dad for me for decades. And so I thought today maybe I could just share with you a little bit about her life. And I thought I would do that by way of just sharing them from the memorial service that we had for her about a month or so ago. It was really an amazing service. It was so beautiful. Many people whom I had never even met came up and shared about their memories of my mom and her faithful prayers for them, her participation in Bible studies and in prayer groups and missionary support groups. And there was one woman in particular who said that my mom had picked her up every Sunday without fail for months after she had become a new Christian and was just a single mom, struggling to learn how to walk with the Lord. And now, here, 30, 40 years later, that woman is still walking with the Lord and remembering the faithful service that my mom had of just picking her up and bringing her to church twice every Sunday. So let me share with you some of that memorial service. My brothers and sisters all stood up and spoke and shared their memories of her, my mom's faithfulness. But let me just share with you the next few minutes, give you a sample of my memories about my mom.
Hi, I'm Kevin, and I'm the baby of the family. Matter of fact, I'm the youngest grandson on both sides. Nothing like saving the best for last, huh? So a few days ago, I was flying south from Washington State to San Luis, and I was reminiscing, of course, and journaling. And if it's okay, I thought I'd just share a little bit about what I wrote. I'm in a plane, headed slowward. I've been looking forward to a return visit for a while, but this particular trip, well, it came sooner than I was hoping. I'm flying down to say goodbye to my mom. She's not there anymore, of course. She's out dancing. Dancing with Bob, and with Papa Dice, too, and with the one she called her shepherd. I don't begrudge her the departure. She's been waiting for it patiently for a long time. The passenger next to me almost missed her flight tonight. Her previous plane had been delayed for 3 hours. I overheard her talking about the alternative flights she'd considered and had she missed this one, and of her conversation with her folks. "I'll fly to Bakersfield," she told them, "and you guys will just have to drive 3 hours and pick me up because I'm coming home tonight no matter what." That's what my mom said, too, on January 1st. "Tonight's the night, Lord," she said. The doctor overheard. "I'm ready. I'm coming home." And she did. She made it, and I'm delighted for her. And I know she'll save me a spot on the couch. That's where I see her right now, on a couch. I suppose that's because that happens to be my earliest memory of her. I was sitting with her on the old gray vinyl sofa in the orange-colored family room. I don't remember her words on that occasion, only her manner. She was scolding me for something in the most loving way you can imagine. No anger, no shaming or blaming. Just asking me about my transgression in a way that made me never want to do that particular thing again. I'm pretty sure I didn't. Her kindness led me to repentance. Of course, that didn't turn me into a saint or an angel by any means. To be honest, I was more of a crybaby, as I recall. At least, that's what I was doing on my second earliest memory of my mom. This particular recollection is the earliest one with words. The first words that I can remember my mom saying to me as a child have stayed with me ever since. I was standing next to her outside in the snow. I was cold and tired and crying over some childish frustration that I knew was terribly unfair. And she knelt beside me and listened. And then she quoted from her favorite book. "We know," she said, her eyes full of faith. "We know that God works all things together for good, for those who love him and are called according to his purpose." You know, sometimes I feel guilty talking to my friends about mom, because unlike many of them, I honestly can't remember anything bad. I know that kind of sounds a little crazy, but I have literally no memories of a single thing that she ever did or said that she would ever need to apologize for. Maybe that means I was spoiled. But I didn't feel spoiled. I just felt loved. I'd like to think that was her greatest gift to me, to teach me what it looks like to love. Her life was a demonstration of it. She didn't even make it look hard either. She just woke up every day and loved. She showed me how it's done. Although I'm a slow learner. Of course, she never saw herself as a great saint. She'd be the first one to tell you of all her shortcomings. She would freely admit to you with genuine sighs of regret, her bouts of anxiety or her reticence to share her faith. But anxiety or not, her faith was real. There's no doubt about that. And in a way, I'm not sure she really had to speak about her faith. Anyone who knows her would agree. Her faith spoke for itself. Oh, sure, she never realized her youthful dream of becoming a missionary. And I think there's a few dozen folks out on the mission field, past and present, that were able to serve there partly because of the support they received every month from her and because of the prayers she faithfully prayed for them. And no, she didn't go around preaching to people about Jesus, but I personally watched her kneel down at the feet of her 90-year-old, slightly cranky mother-in-law with a basin and a towel. She washed my grandma's dark, gangrenous toes every day for months, medicating them and praying over them until she had nursed them back to health after the doctor had recommended amputation. But the best memory of my mom, the one I know I'll carry to my dying day, is her love for Scripture. The others have shared about it too. It was in her blood. Rarely a phone call would go by when she didn't quote a verse to me from memory, not to show off by any means, but because she was simply rehearsing the script that I'm certain filled her everyday life. This last year, there was one particular verse that she quoted more often than any other. She mentioned it nearly every other phone call over the final months. As her strength began to fade and her health slowly waned, as her breath became short and her body less cooperative, this one golden cord seemed to me to be her daily lifeline. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you with my righteous right hand. So today, I stand here rejoicing. Even though my mom's comfy recliner sits empty, and her home no longer rings with her lovely voice. Even though I will never receive another Saturday evening phone call from her with news from all the siblings, or another birthday card with every word in the card double underlined. And even though her faithful prayers for me and my wife and my children won't be rising up from her prayer corner every single day like they have been for decades, I delight in knowing that my mom is sitting with her shepherd on the couch in his family room. And she no longer has to cling to the promise or trust with eyes of faith, because now the one who keeps his promises has carried her home. She was ready to go, and he was ready to help her. And now he's holding her with his righteous right hand.